Maya calendars are not just a way to tally up how much time has passed. I mean, what they really are is a framework for the Maya to understand their place within the cycles of the cosmos and the world around them. You know, they're keeping track of the orbits of Mars and Jupiter and the cycles of the moon and all kinds of different things as a way to understand their place in the cosmos.
Calibrating existence to so many measurements, in a sense of establishing one's sense in the cosmos, I mean, that seems far more complicated than what I do on a daily basis.
Oh, well, certainly, but I don't think that it was necessarily, you know, every individual Maya all the time was worried about, you know, the position of Jupiter relative to Mars and what that meant in terms of where the sun was and things like that. I think it was more, you know, there were a group of elite priests and scribes who kept track of these cycles in order to know when to perform certain rituals and when to do important things such as, you know, plant crops or possibly go to war. So I think there was an overriding concern about when to do certain things. When was the right moment to perform a ritual or make a certain offering to a certain god or something along those lines.
So the popular culture fascination with the end of the world in mid-December, mid to late December, is a construct of everybody who isn't a Maya, basically. Or, you know, it did not originate in the Maya culture.
I've talked to anthropologists who are working down there, and the current day Maya don't really have any idea what all the hoopla about December 21st, 2012 is.
The long count works how?
Basically, it works on the Maya use a base 20 numbering system. So what that essentially means is each place in the long count calendar is a multiple of 20. So it starts off with a period of 20 days, and those 20 days are called a weenal in Yucatec Mayan. And 18 weenals add up to one tune, which is basically equivalent to one of our years. I say basically because it only adds up to 360 days. And the thinking is that the reason they did that was to make it more in line with the length of a solar year. But obviously it's 5 days short of a solar year, so it's not quite the same. And then 20 tunes add up to one ka tune, and 20 ka tunes add up to one bok tune, which is a period of about 400 years. And so the period of time that we're now concerned with is the ending of the 13th bok tune. And the thinking is that would have been a very important period ending to the ancient Maya. The long count calendar that, you know, is referred to as being, you know, the Maya apocalypse, that stopped being used about 600 years before Cortez arrived in Mexico. So it's something that's been long out of use among the Maya.
What are their primary calendar systems now?
Primarily, I mean, they use the same calendars that, you know, everybody else uses in the Western world, but they also still maintain something that is very close to very similar to the Solkine calendar, which is a 260-day ritual calendar, and it's made up of 20 named days and 13 numbered weeks. So those two things in conjunction give you this 260-day cycle that the Maya use to time certain rituals throughout the year.
And that is as ancient as the long count and the solar cycle calculations as well?
It might be more ancient than the long count. I think the earliest known reference to the Solkine calendar is around 600 BC. Where the long count, the earliest reference to a long count date comes from a monument that dates to sometime in 36 BC. And then we see the long count calendar kind of fall out of use around 909 AD. So the Tsul'kin has a much longer history.
Is there a reason why the long count fell out of use?
That isn't really known. It seems to stop being used around the same time that the large classic period kingdoms, the classic period dynasties kind of fall, and the big city states kind of lose power. So it's one of these things that kind of stops being used during this really transitional time between sort of what we consider the classic period and the post-classic period of the Maya.
Flesh out those periods with the architecture we might associate with them.
Well, the classic period is, I guess, primarily where you see the large pyramids and temples being built. That's the time when the Maya kings are kind of at the height of their power. They're really controlling all of the trade and the military activity that's going on across Mesoamerica. And then for some reasons that are still kind of unclear, around 800 or 900 AD, these city-states kind of start losing power, and people start moving out into the countryside. And you still have post-classic period Maya kings, but there's a change in something about the way the rulership works, and they're not quite as powerful as they had been. So you see less kind of monumental construction and less artwork and sculpture and things like that being produced in the post-classic period.
Name the top five city-states.
Oh, the top in terms of political power during the classic period?
Yes.
I don't know if I can get to five. Let me see here.
Can you go for three?
I can do something like that. One of the real classic rivalries, is between Tikal and Calakmul, and Tikal is both of these places are located in kind of northern Guatemala, and they really struggle throughout the classic period to control trade throughout the region and kind of solidify military alliances and things like that. But there are also major centers. Chichen Itza is another one that's a very powerful center, another would be it's more of a pre-classic center, but El Mirador, also in Guatemala, was another kind of center of power in that very early transition between the what they call the pre-classic and moving into the classic period.
You mentioned in the article in this month's Archaeology about the day keepers. Would you tell me more about them?
Well, day keepers are a specific kind of Maya priest, and it's their job to keep track of these different calendars and understand when it's the right time to perform certain rituals. They also do things like kind of foretell whether. They do some trying to like predict the future a little bit, and mostly their job is to know when is a good time to plant, or when is a good time to make offerings to certain deities, or and what rituals are supposed to be performed.
I was especially taken with the idea that it's their job to make sure there is a new day after the day ends by sunset.
Yeah, I mean, what they're trying to do with their rituals is maintain the cycles, you know, that they're observing in the universe. So what they want to do is they want to do their part to make sure that these cycles continue, and that, you know, that everything is in balance as things move forward. And the way they do that is by appeasing these deities through offerings and prayer and ritual. And so that's how they're maintaining these cycles of, you know, day and night, and, you know, the rising and setting of the sun, and bringing rain for the crops at the right time of year, and things like that.
May I go back to what you wrote of the long count and the definition of it as being the number of days since creation, and the apocalyptic so-called date being the 1,872,000th day when a god named, is it Bolon Yachté, ascends to power. Is there more to that story?
Well, certainly there is. There's the long count is basically just it is a count of the number of days that have passed since a mythological creation date of the Maya, and that day fell on either August 11th or August 13th of 3114 BC. There's a little bit of discrepancy there because the scholars still haven't completely come to agreement about how to reconcile the Maya calendar to our modern Gregorian calendar. So there's still a lot of debate about what the important period ending would be. Would it be the end of the Bakhtun that's coming up in this December, or would it actually be the end of the next Bakhtun, which would be the end of the Bakhtun number 13? And so that Bakhtun ending would be 400 years in the future. And then there's still other scholars who think that the important period ending might be the end of the 20th Bakhtun, and that would be 2,000 years in the future. So there's a lot of different there's still a lot to be kind of sorted out in terms of what these period endings mean. The reference to Bolon Yachté comes from a monument from the site of Tortuguero, and really not much is known about that deity, Bolon Yachté, and it's that reference is pretty cryptic in terms of what it actually means. Period endings and period beginnings are often seen as being a transition from one of power from one Maya deity to another. So Bolon Yachté is the name of some deity who is apparently comes to power at this period ending. And the glyph makes some reference to this ascending to power or coming down. People are taking that as some kind of indicator that that this god is going to destroy something, or something terrible is going to happen when this occurs, but that isn't necessarily clear from the glyphs.
So in fact, it's pretty much commonly held, though, that it's not an end of time; it's just a change of one period to another period of time.
Yeah, that really seems to be the case. There aren't really references to like the Maya believing that time is just going to stop. There are certainly monuments that refer to time periods that go beyond, the 13th Bakhtun. So it's not as if the Maya thought that they were all going to be wiped off the face of the earth, or everything was just going to suddenly come to a stop. It does appear to be an important period ending, though. But what that meant in terms of what the ancient Maya thought was going to happen is really open to interpretation.